we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. And I just want to encourage you to kick it in gear. You're on the last leg. And just like a marathon runner, you know, you want to finish strong. And so you can see the end of the work week from here. And God is on the throne. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. This last week, we had our missions emphasis on Sunday morning. We had a Holy Spirit emphasis on Sunday night. And we would just encourage you to come, hear the word, the things that I share. This is pretty much my personality. Now, when I preach, I do get a little more animated than what I am on the radio station here. I don't want to blow out any meters or gauges or anything like that. but this is pretty much my personality. You see me on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You see me outside of the radio station. You see me at Home Depot or Walmart or any place like that. This is pretty much who I am. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of what God is doing, we would love to have you. Visit us. Our services, our Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30. And this coming week, we have a guest that is going to be with us singing a special out of Chicago, Illinois. A pastor and his wife are going to be in the area. And I said, look, I've just had two missionaries back to back. I can't have another guest speaker. And he said, well, how about if my wife can sing? And I said, okay, come on down and we will let her sing, let you greet the people, and then I'll be preaching the word Sunday night at 6:30. So we have been talking about this spirit, the fruit of the spirit, which is gentleness. And first of all, before we get to that, we want to say thank you to Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I was talking to Brother Anderson this last Sunday, and he said, man, we are busy. And he said, you know, we go out and we've got some big jobs, we got small jobs to bid on. You need to understand that if it's a small job, they're going to have to mix that concrete by hand. And you know, they're not opposed to doing that, but you got to remember that there are different sizes of projects. And if it gets to be a large size, then you can order a truck and have it come already mixed, and there's less man hours. So I want you to understand that they know the proportions, they know the depth, they know the width, they know the strength that they need, and they are really, really good at what they do. So whether you have a small job or a large job, and you've got that coming in the weeks ahead, I want to encourage you to go ahead and contact them now so that you can get on the books, and that way you are not waiting because you thought that you would just be able to call up one day and get it done that afternoon. There's a lot of construction going on in Brevard County. So Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, and they can get you up to speed where you need to be on your project. Now, today we are going to go back to our study. We've been talking about gentleness and mildness and meekness and humility, all of that is tied up into this one Greek word, which says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And today I want to talk to you about the spirit of gentleness. We've talked about a number of things. The very first thing that we talked about was, how do you want to receive people? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 21, do you want me to come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So this is This is not just a part of your mind or your will or emotion. This gets down into the core of your being. This is who you are. It's the spirit that comes out of you. It is how you operate. It is the way that Jesus lived. It's the way that you live. We'll be talking a little bit more about the gentleness of Christ in a short period of time next week. But right now, we're going to take you in the scriptures to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, because we're going to see that spirit of meekness showing itself up again one more time in the scriptures. And it's very important that you develop that because of the application of it, what it is necessary for. Okay? The spirit of meekness is absolutely an essential quality if you want to grow in Christ and you want those around you to grow in Christ. So far we have talked about, how do you want to receive people? How do you want to receive the word when it comes into your life? How do you clothe yourself? How do you walk worthy of the calling? All of these things are done in meekness. How do you work? You work in the meekness of wisdom. How do you share your faith? You share it with meekness. And today, Galatians chapter 6 is a passage of scripture no one likes to talk about, but it is a reality for all of us. So, since you can't hit me with tomatoes today through the radio, I'm going to go ahead and talk about what very few people really want to talk about, and that is resolution, restoration. Conflict resolution, sin restoration. How do you deal with this issue where there is sin and it can't be ignored, it can't be winked at, it can't be legislated from being against the heart of God to now being part of the heart of God? That's not going to work. So how do we deal with it when someone sins, and it's whether, you know, and we all sin. So I hope that you remember that as you are studying the scripture, that you study it not only from how will I apply this when I'm in the restorer, but how do you apply it when you're also in need of restoration? I hope that we all have the mindset that sin is displeasing to God, and it is hurtful to humanity. That's the thing. You see, there is a mindset that is out there right now that thinks that when God forbids something in His Word, that it's just because He doesn't want people to have any fun. And that's not it at all. God says, "Do not do things," because they hurt people. Those things hurt people. They damage people. They damage homes. I heard a commercial here a few months ago, and I just had to rattle around my brain cells in my head to try and get this commercial inside of my head. And it was talking about it was talking about a situation where the way that they were presenting their services was not in line with reality. And I was like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Having known way too many people who had experienced that, I knew that there was no way that you could be pro-family and be part of that. Let me get to Galatians chapter 6 so that I don't just ramble on here. Brethren, verse number 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Okay, so that's where we're going to end right now. Let me read it again. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So the reality is, we live in a fallen world, and the possibility exists that at some point in time, even though it's not the will of God, God provides us instruction in his word on how to live so that we will not stumble, so that we will not fall. You know, I was telling the church here not too long ago that I'm trying to lose some of my weight. I'm not horribly overweight, but I'm too much overweight. I don't want to be overweight, and so I'm just going to make myself real to you here. So one day I try and take it every meal at a time, and my wife walks in and she says, "Hey, there's some ice cream in here. Do you want to finish that off?" And I was thinking it was just a little bit, but it was like, "Oh sure, why not? Well, I'll do my part to clean out the grocery." That's my area where I fall off of mission, if you will. That's not something that I want to do on a regular basis. This says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, it doesn't say these are the biggies and these are the little ones. It says if you're overtaken in something, that means you don't just stumble in it. You've been conquered by this thing. It is emerged as a stronghold in your life. And one of the things that I have found is that when a stronghold takes root in someone's life, they will fight for that thing. It will not only be something that hinders them in their physical being or their relationships, it becomes a part of who they are, to where it becomes so entrenched in their innermost being that they're willing to stand their ground and fight for its right to exist. That's when you know that you've lost control over it. You are no longer controlling the sin. The sin is controlling you. And the reality is, sin will never say, "Okay, that's enough. I don't want to take anymore." Sin has an insatiability about it that it says, "I am never satisfied." And so Paul writes, he said, if you're the church there in Galatia, you're probably going to run into a situation where someone gets overtaken in a trespass, in a sin, where they are engaging in activities that they should not be engaged in. He says, here is how you proceed. The question we're going to look at today is, how do you restore a brother? How do you restore a fallen sister? Okay? Now, if you violate the word of God, you will not get the results that the word of God promises. Okay? The way to restore is not to compromise the word. The way to restoration is the exalting of God's word. Okay? I want to put that out there. It says the person who should be ministering to this fallen individual is one who is spiritual. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. I have this expression. Sometimes I don't express it adequately, but whenever I am dealing with a with a problem, with a crisis. Whenever I'm dealing with something, this is outside of Bob. This is someone where I have the responsibility to speak into their life. I make that a matter of prayer to such an extent that I get the will of Bob, B-O-B, out of the way. I want Bob's emotions out of the way. You see, I don't want the carnal nature. I don't want the wrath of Bob to deal with a situation. I need the truth of God to deal with a situation. I need the Spirit of the living God. And so you don't come at it from a carnal nature. You approach it from a position where you understand that it's a spiritual problem and it needs to be dealt with spiritual maturity. So you don't deal with it in the flesh. And if that means that you say, okay, we're going to start the process, but we are going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to get ourselves in the proper spiritual alignment before we do this situation. We, in the Assemblies of God, we had a ministry. I'm not sure what it's called now. The person who, Richard Dobbins, was the one who started it. And, he's since gone on to be with the Lord. So I don't know if it retains the same name. But he made this statement. He said, whenever we deal with a pastor, and they would deal with pastors from all different denominations, if we deal with a pastor who has been overtaken in sin, the very first thing that our entire organization does is go into a season of prolonged fasting and praying before they ever deal with the individual. They start fasting and praying. They said, because what are we going to be able to share with them that they've never heard? What are we going to be able to share with them that they have never shared? So we need to create the spiritual climate, the spiritual atmosphere that brings them to that place of spiritual repentance rather than something that is combative or if they're on trial or anything like that. The purpose is restoration. If you're someplace, say that with me. God's purpose is restoration. That's what it says. Spirit, you who are spiritual, restore. If you have blown it, I want you to know that God is not up there, you know, taking practice swings with his spiritual baseball bat saying, man, I'm getting ready to knock this guy out of the park. No, he's up there. The Holy Spirit is passionately pursuing you. You won't find perfect people in the Bible. What you will find are people who were forgiven, who were restored. The only person, perfect person you will find in the Bible is Jesus. All the rest of us have fallen in one area or the other, and if you've fallen in one area, you are guilty of the whole thing. We all deserve hell. It is by the grace and the mercy of God that we don't have that as our eternal destiny. God's purpose is restoration. Okay? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Okay? Now remember, this is the spirit of meekness. It's gentle. It is humble. And so you don't go into that situation and saying, look, I'm the authority in this area and I'm the teacher, you're the student. That's not going to result in restoration. That's getting ready to be a very frustrating experience. You don't go into it and say, well, you know, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. If we require restoration because we've fallen into sin, it is a big deal. I had a situation one time where I was having a conversation with a pastor. We were getting ready to have a large meeting, and after I left him, I went over to my seat, and God said, "How dare you?" I said, "How dare I what?" He said, "How dare you sow seeds of discord between a pastor and a member of his flock. I said, well, I didn't mean to do that. And he said, well, that's exactly what you did. And he said, I want you to go and I want you to apologize and I want you to repent. And I won't you ever do that again. And so I got up and I went over and I said, oh, pastor, please forgive me. I, you know, the Holy Spirit just dealt with me and I want to apologize. I didn't mean to do that. And, you know, he said, you know, I didn't give it a second thought. He said it wasn't a big deal to me. And I said, well, it was a big deal to God. And, I wanted to make sure that I got it straightened out. You see, I'm not the perfect person here on the radio program telling you these things. I've lived them. And so if it's big enough that God says, I need someone to come in and restore you to the condition that I want you to be in, it's a big deal. It requires a spirit of gentleness. It requires a spirit that is going to be very gentle with the fallen individual, but will also be very strong with the individual. Okay? We have ways of trying to rationalize sinful behavior where God has a heart to get us to repent of sinful behavior. And so I don't apologize for the word of God. This is what God's word says. Now, how can we get you from where you are to where God's word wants you to be? That's the spiritual journey that we're on. And so it's got to get down into your spirit. I don't know if you've ever been broken in your spirit because of someone else's brokenness. But it also says the reason that you've got to deal with them in the spirit of gentleness is you have got to consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Okay? I've been in a situation where I was dealing with a pretty frustrating situation. It was a very serious situation. And I was deeply emotionally involved in the situation. And God spoke to me and he said, be careful, because the devil's goal is not limited to the person you're dealing with. The devil's goal is to entrap and ensnare you in this process. And I will tell you, when the Holy Spirit tells you that the devil has traps set for you, that all of a sudden makes you walk very carefully and very gingerly. You've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to walk very gently. I'm going to deal with this person with the realization that I could be that person. Don't ever tell yourself that will never happen to me. There are a lot of people who have said that will never happen to me. There were people who never thought they would be alcoholics that became alcoholics. People who never thought they would be drug addicts that became drug addicts. There are people who never thought they would have sexual immorality in their life who have sexual immorality in their life. Don't ever say it can't happen to you, because you are human. You do need to walk cautiously. And so as you're dealing with these spiritual issues with others, you've got to have all sorts of parameters set up. When I'm dealing with people in my office, I make sure that my office manager is there as much as I possibly can, because I want to make sure that that if I'm dealing with something, I'm not going to be the solution that becomes the problem. So it says, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The way to really deal with this situation is you conduct yourself in such a way that the person that you are dealing with knows that you are not attacking them. You are there to help them. We have a ministry in the Assemblies of God. It's called Teen Challenge. It's really not about teenagers. It started out that way with David Wilkerson ministering to gangs up in New York City, and they were all teenagers, and so Teen Challenge became quite a name. But in reality, it deals with adults who are not teenagers. They have boys' homes, girls' homes, they have men's homes, ladies' homes. But it's really about dealing with these people with particular issues. And as long as they know, well, in that particular ministry, they will not take anybody into their program. Doesn't matter how rich a person is, doesn't matter how much mom wants them in there, doesn't matter how much dad wants them in there, they will not accept them into their program until the person that has the problem says, God, would you please help me and deliver me from this? And so if you've got people, you know, loved ones, and they are trying to get rid of alcohol or drug issues in their life, listen, they have a very high success rate, but it is also no nonsense. They don't put up with foolishness. And so they want to make sure that the person is all in and ready to get with the program so that they can get on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a person realizes that we are there to help them carry their burden, it works out really, really well. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. So it all comes down to each one of us accepting our own personal responsibility. If I have sin issues in my life, it's not my mama's fault. It's not my daddy's fault. It's not my neighbor's fault. It's not my coworker's fault. It's not my wife's fault, not my kid's fault. It's my fault. And when you realize it's your responsibility, and God is there saying, you know what? I can forgive you. I can restore you. But as long as we're passing the buck and shifting the blame to someone else, there's always going to be that place that says, you know what? You're not quite to the end of your rope yet. And God really wants to deliver us. Father, I just pray for everybody that's listening. Lord, I know I'm not a perfect man. And the people who are listening, God, they probably have sin issues that they deal with. God, I pray that you would equip the church as a spiritual resource to restore the broken, the hurting, and the wounded. Would you equip us with a spirit of gentleness in Jesus' name? We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.